Good morning. Today we are going to have a business meeting following the 11 o'clock hour. It will be brief. It's just for the election of officers. It's not for the financial. The financial will be in February on the 9th. But it will be brief. So right after the service, everybody can have a really quick break, really quick. And then we're going to come back and do the business meeting as soon as possible. So just a few minutes for a break. There is a priesthood study this Wednesday, the 29th. So please mark your calendars for that, the priesthood meeting. And also the Younger Youth Retreat is coming up in February. So that's it's less than a month away. So please keep that in your prayers. For the people who will be attending there, and also for those who will be providing the classes and the things that will be going on, that that would go well. So please keep that in your prayers going forward. Also on our prayer list, you'll notice it's pretty lengthy. Tom Rentz, Tony's dad, you know how you've been asking about prayers for him. He's actually recovered. To some extent, and they took him off of the vent because they thought that, you know what, we're going to honor his wishes, that he did not want to be have life sustained by some artificial means. So they were honoring his wishes in that, and they took him off of that, and he improved, and he actually got better. And wanted to eat, and is talking, and you know. So, our prayers have given him some extra time, at least, at the very least, with his family. And what a wonderful opportunity that is to share with his family still, and for the children to share with him still. So, prayers have been answered. That's a blessing, and that should be heard that that was the case. Kim McKitty is going to be having her surgery tomorrow at 10:45 a.m. So please, in your morning prayers, keep her in your morning prayers for her surgery that she's going to be having. We're also going to be, Brother Carl and I are going to be doing an administration for her right after our offertory. So please keep that in your prayers too as we do that. On the rostrum this morning, myself, Elder Kurt Fishwild, presiding, offering the invocation and the benediction is Deacon Ron Baltzer. And our message this morning will be brought by Elder Rex Monarch. For the call to worship, it's a little bit about the Lord having faith and the Lord being the same today, tomorrow, forever. And this is found in the book of Moroni, chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. What a wonderful God we have, that he changes not and that he's the same always. We can rely on him. always. Can we continue with our opening hymn, hymn number 24 in your hymnals? And if you would stand when you find your place, number 24.
This time, asking Father that Thou would send Thy angels to watch over us and protect us, and that Thy Holy Spirit might guide and direct those that are here, that they too might feel Thy presence near, and be with our speaker, and open our minds and our hearts, that it might be in tune with Thee, and that we might understand those things which are being brought. And we pray for those that are not here, Father, through sickness and their health. And we miss them, Father, but we ask that Thy Holy Spirit would go forth unto them, knowing that we love them and that we miss them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
David. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would bless this offering which is taken up this day, that the monies that are collected would be used for a wise purpose in You, Heavenly Father. And I pray that You would bless those who give and even those who have the desire to give, that in the future they would be able to. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would strengthen and give us direction in all things that we do in this place, Heavenly Father, that we would worship You with truth and spirit, and that we would seek You out in all that we do, Heavenly Father, that we would seek out Your wisdom in all that we do. I pray, Heavenly Father, for Your blessings to be with us. Be with us in this place, and be with us in our homes, and be with us in our work, and in our times when we are alone, and in times when we are in a crowd or amongst our friends, that we would be good witnesses to Thee. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would just bless us and watch over us. And I pray for the blessing upon this offering also, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. This time, if we could ask Carl and Kim to come forward, and we'll have an administration for Kim for her surgery tomorrow, that everything would go well and go as God plans. Sacred name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless our dear sister. Bless her, Heavenly Father, as she is prepared for this surgery tomorrow. Bless her, Heavenly Father, in all that she does as the hours continue and count down to that time. And I pray, Heavenly Father, truly that you would be with her and give her that which she needs. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for her. I thank you for her life, for the blessing that which she is and the helpmate that she is to Carl. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for her seeking you and for seeking understanding of you in her life, Heavenly Father. I pray that she would continue to seek you out, Heavenly Father, and to understand you in a better way and to walk closer to you, Heavenly Father, even more so than she has ever done. That she would be the handmaiden that she has been called to be, Heavenly Father. That she would be yours and that you would instruct her in her life, Heavenly Father. I pray for blessings to be upon her, Heavenly Father, as she goes into this procedure, and that you would be with her afterwards as she recovers, and that you would just comfort her, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you would look down upon her now, and that you would open up those windows of heaven above, and that you would shower down blessings upon her, and that you would shower down blessings upon my brother Carl as he brings the confirmation of this anointing, that you would loose his tongue and his mind, Heavenly Father, that those words that he offers would be that which she needs at this time, that truly she would receive that which she needs, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would truly be with her and be with my brother Carl now, and I ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Father God, through thy Son, Jesus Christ, we call upon thee. And we are thankful for this soul that sits in the chair. And I pray at this time, asking that our faith together, united, would be the cause of a great miracle, a blessing in Kim's life. I pray, Father, not having the words that have been given to me, but your words. And if they not come from me, but they come from on high, and they rest with her within her soul, in her mind, in her heart, that if there be any fear, it would be taken away from her, but that she would have joy and peace and hope through this time that she is going through, that her testimony would cause to be sharpened. Father, we know you've blessed her and you've opened her eyes to many wonderful things. You've touched her heart. And so we praise you for those things in the past. And we praise you for the future of those things to come. That thy angels would go before her, Father. They would hold her hands and watch over her as she goes through this procedure. That the doctors would be blessed. That the insight and the talents and the gifts that have been given to these doctors, that they would know for surety what to do and how to do things. Steady their hands, Lord. Steady their minds that they may be one with you also. Father, I pray for her recovery. I pray as the elders are called to a minister to her at another time, that even that would be prepared now, that she would begin to receive the blessings, that her eyes would be open to see and to know that you are even more in her life than ever before. And so, Lord, we pray, we put her in your hands, that you will bless her and that you will carry her through this time, and that the testimonies of many may come forth unto her ears, that she may feel the prayers of the saints as they lift her up. I pray, Father, at this time asking that your blessing will be upon her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I almost feel that maybe that's all we needed today, is to be able to see that. I have a scripture reading this morning, and it's from Psalms chapter 46, starting at verse 5. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth shall be removed and though the mountains shall be carried into the midst of the sea. The waters thereof roar, being troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Yet there shall be a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. For Zion shall come, and God shall be in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. May the Lord add a blessing to his word at this time and continue to bless us.
So you may have noticed in your bulletin, but the hymn has changed. It will now be hymn number 345 in your hymnals. And you can remain seated.
I have a favorite scripture of mine from Alma. This is chapter 21. And it's talking about Moroni when he was a chief commander. And it goes as this. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, in memory of our God and our religion and freedom and our peace, our wives and our children. And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened on his headplate, and his breastplate, and his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins, and he took the pole which had on the end thereof the rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. For thus we were the true believers of Christ, who belong to the church of God, called by those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church were faithful. There's that word again, faithful. I have a title kind of that I put down here, and that is Living Faithful to Our Cause. And you know, faithfulness, I should say, seems to have become a rare virtue these days. Maybe not faithfulness itself, but remaining faithful through all the trials that we go through. And the Bible has many references to being faithful. In particular, in Proverbs 28, it says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." And here we can see that faithfulness is the key then to God's blessings. However, we must recognize at this time also that's not just faithfulness, it's obedience. Because, you know, faithfulness and obedience, they go hand in hand. They are together, one with the other. Now, generally speaking, there's a couple different kinds of blessings that are out there. There's a first type, and this is like the rain, say, and the sunshine, and the moon, and the stars in the sky. Well, those are blessings that are given to everybody, all mankind. Whether you're faithful unto God or not, those blessings are out there, and we all see them. But then there's a second blessing that is more unique, tailored, if you will, to each one of us, separately, according to the way that we live our lives. Such blessings can be spiritual in nature, but also temporal. Now, I'm going to slow down for a minute because this is for you and for me. I don't know everything that's going on in your lives personally. I know what's going on in mine, but I share this, and remember, this is for us all, including myself, because there's some hard facts that I want to talk about. I want to look back in a few areas of life where people may struggle to remain faithful every day of their lives. Not just sometimes, but we're supposed to remain faithful all times. And we struggle with some things. And sometimes these things cause difficulty in our lives. And if it doesn't cause difficulty that's seen in our lives, sometimes it causes difficulty in others that are around us in their lives. So let's have a look. Talked about it this morning. I was kind of giggling back there because the first one I have on here is patience. How many times are we so faithful and all of a sudden we come to a little bit of a stop in our road where we become impatient? You know, that's a real test of our faith, our patience. Because that causes us to remain faithful through any situation and to have patience. And wait on who? Wait upon the Lord. If we are faithful, we will wait upon the Lord no matter what's going on around us, no matter what somebody says, no matter what somebody does. We're going to wait for the Lord to direct us. And I know that we struggle in that sometimes. And why might you ask that we should wait? Study it out in your minds and your hearts and look to the scriptures. In Isaiah 40:31 it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." I want to go to the Doctrine and Covenants for a second because as I was looking through these things, I thought of Doctrine and Covenants chapter 9. And it's interesting. Going to 3, B and C. Because, you know, we're talking about this all the time and we're saying, well, Lord, all these other people are doing all these other things out there. What say you that I do? And it starts here. "But behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right." There's direction right there for all of us. I think it's so important to be patient, to study it out. The Lord's not going to give us everything and hand it right to us. He wants us to work study it out in your mind, and then ask of him if it be right. And he will give you an answer. I truly believe that. Second, as we were reading in the Word, we need to be faithful to God's Word all the time and all his words. There's a lot of them in here. The only way we're going to find out is if we study them. But we need to be faithful to them all the time, not just sometimes, not just when we feel it's comfortable for us at that time. All the time, be faithful to God's Word. In Psalms 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Do we have that word hidden in our heart? That as soon as we even attempt to do something wrong, that comes out. And we know without a doubt. And it stops us from doing those things. You know, God has promised to bless us if we are obedient to his word. In John 15:7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Do we truly have faith in that? We just had a ministration this morning. Did you not just come forward and ask that the Lord would bless you? Trusting and having faith in the elders of the church that the Lord would send a message to you to comfort you. I think so. And that's why I say that's a blessing to all of us. Because we were all here. We all felt that in that blessing. Have no worries. No worries. What a wonderful promise that the Lord has given unto us for his comfort and his protection and his guidance and direction. And also in Isaiah it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." His perfect peace. You know, we talk about that peace that passeth understanding. Makes me think of the song, "I Can Only Imagine," because I think we all struggle with that perfect peace from time to time. Do we lack in a little faith, and that's why we don't have that perfect peace all the time? I can only imagine. I can't imagine. If we could only remain faithful to God's word, how much more blessed would we be daily, and how much more of a blessing would be unto others around us. Kim, you're gonna show us all. All right? I have faith and trust in that. I really do. So perfect peace. Are we there yet? Are we feeling that perfect peace? And how about being faithful to your church? The church is every Christian's spiritual family. God has called us to be of one heart, one mind, and one spirit. We just got to look 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Can we consider ourselves, you and I, always faithful to our brothers and sisters while fully supporting the ministry that is at hand? Remaining steadfast in our cause, brothers and sisters. That's what we're called to do. We talk about that every week almost. The Book of Mormon is prevalent with that as we're going through the book, even this morning. Remaining steadfast to our cause. And this is it. Doctrine and Covenants 36:2H. "And the Lord called his people Zion because they are of one heart and one mind and dwelt in righteousness." Always. You think of how long it took Enoch in that land that he was in charge of before it was taken up into the bosom of the Father, before it became that righteous. That's where we need to be. That's what our vision needs to be. To be a righteous people where the Lord sees so fit for us that he can just take us right up, because that's how righteous we are. Remember, Brother Jared, see the finger of the Lord. Do we have that much faith? To remain faithful, all of these things can be difficult at times, but it is of the utmost importance for each one of our spiritual welfare. And we go through a lot of things each day. We have our pains, we have our difficulties in life, we come across other people that just cause us anguish, not only because sometimes we feel bad for them, but other times they just want to cause difficulty. And it can be hard to have that patience that we are called to have that faith to put it in the Lord's hands right away without getting angry, just putting it right in the Lord's hands so that we can continue to have that peace that we should have within ourselves. And in fact, that peace that we have in ourselves, when we can attain it and keep it, do you think that doesn't flow to others around you? It does. There are many more areas that are in question. Faithfulness to our families. Husbands are commanded to love their wives and wives their husbands. Children are to obey their parents. We are called to be faithful stewards over all we have because we've learned many times that everything that we have is whose? It's God's. It's not ours. God has blessed us with it. We are to be faithful stewards over it. Always over all things. Being faithful to one's country, the Bible urges us to pray to those who govern. This can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks to be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. Do we forget sometimes? We watch the news, which nowadays just seems to be a mistake, but everybody around you is talking about what they're watching on the news. And it can rile you up inside a little bit. So I ask you, what do we do? Do we become angry? Do we become obsessed? Do we start to think of that instead of what's above? Is that all it takes to throw us off with our walk of God? That little moment? And let's not forget our workplace, though it may be difficult at times. What an opportunity for our light to shine forth at our workplace, to bring forth fruit for others to see, to calm them down. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and I want to tell you, I remember struggling with this particular verse because I do have a boss, and he's just not right all the time. Okay, and I know many of us have come across that. I want you to listen to these words because it talks about how we react not to man but to God. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. What a wonderful blessing and what a wonderful thought that is. And how calming that can be to have that thought if you're having difficulty anywhere, even at work. Search yourselves. Because you know yourself where you might lack a little bit or struggle in being unfaithful in these different attributes of your life. And the reason I say that we all need to do that consistently, check ourselves, look in the mirror, if you will, is because of this. In Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's a promise. So there it is. I got my teach unto this generation, repentance. We're called to do that because we need to be a repentful people. We need to be forgiven because we do lack in our faithfulness. We do lack in our patience and these other things from time to time. But if we look unto our Father and we ask for forgiveness, he will bring us right back in a moment. Cause us to be steady once again and be on that path. And now, so now you got everything straightened out, right? We're back on the right path. Courage we need to move forward in a straight direction. There are times in life when we all need just someone to say to us, you know what? Take courage, brother or sister. Just take courage. Have faith. I was in the Boy Scouts years ago. I was in there for quite a long time. Never made it to Eagle Scout. But I was in Boy Scouts for a long time. Learned a lot of things. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. You know what I mean? That's what we were taught to be. And it worked out. And I always remember that. Don't know why. Probably till the last day I'll remember that. But I do remember one time when we were in Boy Scouts and we were on a hike. And one of the places we came up to, there was a cliff. Okay, and I want you to think of all these. Remember the time when you were told to turn your back and just kind of let go, and the person behind you was going to catch you, and that was a test to see if you had faith. So here they are. They tie a rope. We had to all go over this cliff. They tie a rope around my waist. I'm starting to go over the cliff, and I decided to look down. Oh, man, I don't like that. Just about that time when I looked over and got scared, my friend said, "Don't worry about it. The other end's tied to a tree. Everything's going to be just fine. Don't worry. Take courage." See, his confidence was a lot higher than mine. I was over the cliff a little bit already. He's up on top looking, saying, "Well, the rope's tied to a tree. You're all good." And I'm over there going, all I see is what's down there. So I had to take courage. I had to have that faith. I had to trust. Made it through. It was tough. Courage counts on trust in that which sometimes we don't see. Some things that we don't know, we have to have trust. So this is a good time, I think, to ask ourselves, do we really trust in our Lord? 100% trust in our Lord. And all the things that we read in the scriptures, all the times that we look back in our lives, we've been blessed, that we continue to trust in the Lord and believe. Do we even need to look at the things that he's blessed us with already? Because really, when you think about it, we should just trust in the Lord and have faith, even at this very moment. You might be facing something that's overwhelming. You know what? I understand the surgery you're having. I understand the surgery that's coming up for Judy. I understand that it can be overwhelming to everyone around. You know, it says that we are supposed to be one. When one is suffering, we all suffer. When one is joyful, we're all joyful. That's Zion atmosphere. That's the way we are called to be. But I want you to know, in Psalms 31, it says this: "Be of good courage. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." There's that faith again. Hope in the Lord of those things that you have asked for. In faith, believing. It goes with all the scriptures. There's a pattern there. Call upon the Lord. Have faith, and you will be blessed according to that which you believe. You know, God is with us always. Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He's always with you, brothers and sisters. So we can take courage knowing that no matter what's coming, he's there with us to help get us through. No worries, right? Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Are we there? We trust that much to where we have no fear? Or do we go in situations letting our human nature take off, causing us to be fearful? A little bit, can do this very quickly. Because as soon as fear sets in, you know who's out there trying to make it worse? Satan. We talked about that this morning. He will just find his way in and make things. You will be so confused. You'll be running around, tossed in to and fro, just like the world out there is right now. It's total chaos. Now, with all these things we've just heard, with all this new courage that you've gained, and all the blessings that are bestowed upon you because of your faith and your obedience unto good works for the Lord, the key is to remain humble. And boy, I can look out there today and see, and I'm not talking about looking out in my workplace and that, and every little thing that someone does, look at me, look what I did. And what did Carl used to say? We know it's in the scriptures, right, brother? You have your reward. You want your reward here, or do you want your reward in heaven? We can do nothing good of ourselves, and that's what we need to remember. It's only because the Lord makes it possible for us to do good in the first place that we can do any good. Proof in the scriptures, Mosiah chapter 2, verse 18. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even to the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily. And I will even say every second of the day, because we need him every second of the day. Because as humans, we seem to just any moment we can start doing this over here. And it's very easy to do. I understand that totally. I do. And that's why we need to call on his name always. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's a fact. Remember the sermon on Remember the Sermon on the Mount. We all know, hopefully, that's in chapter 5 of Matthew. Okay, the commencement of Christ's teaching to his followers. And he was surrounded by a bunch of people. And a lot of these people soon would become his followers, or his disciples, if you will. Through teaching the Beatitudes, Jesus Christ began to describe the conditions. There's always a condition, which are key to many of the blessings that would come unto the true disciples of God. Jesus began each beatitude with the words, "Blessed are." And then he continues to tell the folks, the people, the saints, the condition needed to receive each one of those blessings. The blessing is a result of something that was already prepared, and this is what we need to understand. The blessing's already there. It's already there. That blessing is there for me and you. But here's the conditions. So you have to prepare yourself to receive of the blessing that the Lord's already prepared for you. It's waiting. But we have to meet the specific condition and the character that God calls us to have. I want you to think for a moment. Every time we allow God to use us for his purposes, we are blessed. We have been blessed. And so are those around you, because we've allowed his light to shine unto us, in us, and through us. Humility and kindness are to be in our character. We are not just to act humble and kind, for God knows what's in our heart. There's a lot of actors out there. There really is. A lot of people just doing what they got to do to make it through. But humility and kindness are qualities created in us from the very beginning. Let us not forget whose image we were created in, even that perfect image. Sometimes through the years, that image becomes a little bit blurred because of our human nature. But the choice is for us to make. Are we going to live according to human nature? Or are we going to be the people who will reveal to those around us that perfect character of God and Christ, that perfect image, if you will, that we were originally made in? We are called to be the salt of the world, to be that light. God didn't say he wanted us to act like those things from time to time when it's convenient to us or when it might build us up a little bit that we can feel good about ourselves. He said that we are to be the salt and the light. Let us not try to act like saints of God. Let's live that life and strive to be those saints of God. Humility and kindness are just but two of the many of Christ-like qualities that we are to have and that people are to see within us each day of our lives. Our work here in this life is to allow Jesus Christ's character to work through us, to be made known to all those around us, even the world. Now it says that we're supposed to go out and share all things to the world. That's what they're talking about in the scriptures. That all things will be revealed, and it can be revealed from you, through you and I, if we allow Christ and God to direct us in all that we do. Remember, we can't do anything good of our own. It is only because God has placed it in our hearts and on our minds. I want to share a short story with you. It's very long. Anybody, I would say, go on the online and look up the story about Private Bill Crawford, William Crawford, back in World War II. I'm just going to go through this real quick, but I'm not going to give you all the details. But if you have time, look, because the story is just about a man of faith, courage, and humility. And it goes as this. So here's a U.S. Air Force Academy down in Colorado Springs. Anyone that's been in that area knows it's a big Air Force base. It's way down in a valley. And Ryan's in-laws live up on top of the hill, so they get to see these planes taking off, you know, all the time. So he was brought up there, and now he's working there. He's went back after years of service, and he's working at this U.S. Air Force Academy, and he's working as a janitor. Okay? I'm going to make this kind of short, so hopefully I don't skip anything. So here's this janitor, and he's got like 100-150 cadets always, you know, a new group of cadets are always around, and here's this guy sweeping the floor, cleaning up after him, doing all this stuff. Never says much of a word. He's getting older. He's got gray hair like me, and he keeps on moving on, and the cadets really don't talk to him that much because he doesn't really talk to them. So years went by, and this guy, they called him Bill, just kind of went about his everyday thing. Well, this one class of cadets had a guy who became a colonel later on. His name is James Muscat. And while they were in school, it's just this regular Saturday afternoon, and they're looking through their books and they're studying. And he opens this book and he starts reading about World War II. And all of a sudden, he's calling to his roommate, "You got to get over here and look at this." He's looking at a picture in the book. He says, "Is it possible that that's Bill Crawford, our janitor?" He starts reading a little. He says that they had been reading, and it was about 30 years before, detailed a confrontation that the United States had, the Army's 36th Infantry Division, and enemy forces in Italy during World War II, and how Private Crawford had single-handedly attacked a fortified enemy position and got it over and made it so that all his troops could continue to go forth. Well, months went by, and because Bill was on the front line, they never heard from him. They couldn't find him. They figured that he was either dead or captured. So after years, his name came up, and they decided, well, he should be getting the Medal of Honor. Well, being that he had been gone for so long and missing, they thought that he had died, so they went and had a ceremony and gave that Medal of Honor to his father, George, who rightfully took it and was very proud of his son. months went by and things started calming down. It was towards the end of World War II, and all of a sudden people started going in and finding out that these people were prisoners of war and opening up these camps and sending these people home. You know what? Bill Crawford was in one of those camps. The Lord had watched over him. Mom and dad, friends, soldiers that he fought with, all now realizing that Bill was alive, got together and just were so grateful and overwhelmed. Many years later, 40 years later, the Air Force Academy now has these guys that were in that same class that had become colonels and sergeants and generals. They said, we got to do something for this guy because he never received the Medal of Honor. So at the May 1984 graduation ceremony, the cadets and the generals and all the new people got together, including President of the time, Ronald Reagan. And the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, the President, turned to the entire audience and brought their attention to Crawford, Bill Crawford, who they'd sat in the front and spoke of all the bravery and considered him a hero. And this was years later. The gallant Bill Crawford accepted the medal in true form with grace and humility. He and the President shook hands and no longer were able to hold back the smile. Crawford was just beaming from one end to the other. But you know what? This man who lived a discreet life, never talked about it. After receiving the Medal of Honor, he said, you know what? I was just doing my part. That was his answer. This hero was so humble that he only saw himself acting for the greater good of mankind. He said, I figured it was just a normal call of duty. I happened to be in the right place at the right time. You know, this level of humbleness really is pretty rare these days. I'm sure it's out there. And that's why I think that it makes this story of this hero, this young man at the time, resonate so much, even with myself, as I read it. And it is a little bit of a long read, but it's definitely worth reading because we need to hear that today. We need to have that courage. We need to have that faith. We need to have that humility because it's the Lord working within us to go forth. I ask that and hope that we might all choose to live that kind of life, faithful, courageous, and a servant to all mankind. Been watching a couple movies lately, and you know, one of the things that always sticks to me, I can't remember the name of the movies now, there's a couple of them, says that God is always good. God is always good, always. Because even as we heard this morning, he does never change. And he's no respecter of persons. Call upon him. He is always there for you. And he's always looking out for you. And he's always good. I pray that those things would be on your mind and your heart. That as we go forth, even out today, that we continue to look up to the Lord and to pursue those things that he places in front of us and not do those things which we always want to do and take on ourselves.
For our closing hymn today, would you turn to hymn number 277 in your hymnals, and if you would stand when you find your place.
Father, we come to Thee, giving thanks for the opportunity to be here and the blessings which have been brought unto us, that we might fully understand Thy scriptures and Thy love and the things which we should do. And we pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit will go forth with us into our homes, and that Thou will watch over and protect us as we go, and be with those that are not here, that they too might have felt Thy Spirit as we remember them in Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.